Boy, great singing and great playing. Praise the Lord. Kids, come on up. We need some kids up here. All right, Becca, love to see that energy. Woo! Wow. That was fast. We should time you. This is, you know, how many yards? I think you might be doing a 4.3 40 or something like that. Very good. All right, the question for today is, when you grow up, what do you want to do?
Be a ballerina teacher.
Be a ballerina teacher. I'll come take lessons.
Be a cook.
Be a cook. Do you cook anything now? What do you cook?
Strawberry French toast.
Strawberry French toast? What are you doing next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock? Strawberry French toast. That sounds good. You're going to bring that? That sounds awesome.
Naomi has her own cookbook.
Her own cookbook. Wow, Naomi's cookbook. What would you like to do when you grow up?
Probably be a music artist.
Nice, music artist. We would like all a copy of your first CD.
I'm not sure yet.
Not sure yet? It's okay. It takes time to think through that. Marietta?
Be an actress or artist.
Actress or artist. Okay. Ruby, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Austin, like, sick, like my baby.
Translation. Could be anything. What would you like to do when you grow up? What's your name again?
Akeisha.
Akeisha.
I want to be a pilot.
A pilot. You know, I don't see her here, but we have a lady who piloted 747s in our church. She's not here today, though. All right. Well, you know what? These are all fine things that you want to do, but I'm going to tell you what you must do when you grow up. You ready? No, you're not stealing my sermon, Becca. I'm just kidding. What is it?
To praise God.
Praise God? Okay. Well, it's more general than that. You ready? You must grow up. When you grow up, you must grow up. See, this is true even for all the moms and dads, even the grandmas and grandpas. We all need to keep on growing to become more like Jesus Christ. So when you grow up, one thing I hope you'll want to do is keep growing up. All right, head on back, children's church, or back to your seat, wherever you're headed. And if you're not headed out, grab your Bible and open with me to 1 Corinthians. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Lord willing, today we will finish the chapter. And that would put us one-fourth of the way through 1 Corinthians. Hopefully you're not calculating how long it will be then till we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the title of the message this morning is A Loving Father, because the Spirit of God gives us a picture here of Paul as a loving father with his somewhat wayward children. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 21. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Maturity. In one word, that's what this is about. Spiritual maturity. Although Paul writes in this text referring to himself at least a dozen times, and although he writes here referring to the saints in Corinth about as many times, although he talks much about himself and about them, he is speaking here about spiritual maturity. And the heart of it is this call by Paul to all to imitate him. In verse 16, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, imitate or keep on becoming imitators of me." The truth is, we all need to grow up. Paul's call to become imitators of him is a call to greater maturity in Jesus Christ. And again, Paul's call is to all. And to the end that we might grow in maturity, that we might grow in greater likeness to Paul as he is to Christ, all around this one command, be imitators of me, is a picture of Paul as a loving father. Now, we've had many pictures up to this point. So far, we've seen Paul as the faithful prayer and faithful gospel preacher in chapter 1. We've seen him as the teacher of God's wisdom and as a spiritual man in chapter 2. We've seen him as a farmer and as a builder who is seeking to build up God's holy temple, which is the local church. We've seen that in chapter 3 and in chapter 4. In chapter 4, he begins by describing himself as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. And here, in these verses, he is a loving father. What I want you to do is look with me at this text and learn what it means to be a mature, loving man or woman of God. I want you to see at least five things that Paul does here. These are things that every loving father does with his beloved children, and every loving mother, and every loving pastor, and really every loving, mature Christian will seek to do these things. You might underline these words in the text. They will serve as our outline for this morning. In verse 14, warn. W-A-R-N. Verse 14, warn. Verse 16, urge. U-R-G-E, urge. Verse 17, there are two words there, remind and teach. And verse 19, come. Again, in verse 21, I shall come. These are things that Paul does with the saints in Corinth. These are things that a loving father does, and they reveal what he is. Let's look together. Beginning at verse 14, Paul says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Warn. This is what Paul does with his beloved children. This is what a loving father, a loving mother, a mature Christian does. What does it mean? Well, he says, I do not write these things. What things? Generally, he's speaking about the things he's written so far in the letter, chapters 1 through 4. But to be specific, he's referring to what he just said in verses 9 through 13 about all the sufferings he endured as an apostle. Remember, we looked at that 2 weeks ago. If you look up there at verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst and are poorly clothed and are beaten and are homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. All of these things were things that Paul suffered as a mature Christian, as a mature follower of Jesus Christ. He was so devoted to Christ, so committed to serving him, that he was suffering. But he says, I don't write all these things about what I suffer for the sake of the gospel to shame you. I'm not trying to get you to look at your situation and say, gee, I'm not suffering like Paul. I'm so ashamed. He says, but I do write these things to warn you. What does he mean by that? Notice he says, as my beloved children, I warn you. Now he explains why he calls them his beloved children. It is because he was their spiritual father. Verse 15, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. More on that in a moment. But Paul is saying, look, I am a father to you in Christ. I am the one who preached Christ to you. I'm the one through whom you believed. And therefore, as my beloved children, I warn you. Warn. It is the Greek word noutheteo. Maybe you've heard of nouthetic counseling. Maybe you've heard of that. Maybe you haven't. It's a word used for Christian or biblical counseling. And the idea is that you have taught someone in the way they ought to go, and maybe they started out okay, but then they began listening to human wisdom. they began thinking they don't need to listen to you anymore, and they began going off track. What does a loving father, or a loving mother, or a loving pastor do at that point? Four-letter word begins with W. Warn. You ever been down to the Riverwalk? How many have been down to the Riverwalk? Yeah, I like walking down there, and a lot of grandparents like to take the grandkids down there, and maybe moms and dads like to take their children down there. So I want you to imagine you're down at the Riverwalk, and you have taught Junior how to ride that bike, maybe how to skate on the skateboard, maybe how to roll on those rollerblades, or maybe just how to walk or run. And now you're out in front. The problem down at the Riverwalk is if you don't walk following the path and you head, well, to the left if you're heading one direction, what happens? You fall into the drink, right? You fall right into the water. Well, if you're walking out front and Junior back there, although you taught Junior to ride that bike straight or skate that skateboard straight or roll straight on those rollerblades, you turn around and Junior is, he's got a new idea or she's got a new idea. I know, I'll close my eyes and take my hands off the wheel, which is what kids do, right? They do foolish things. And now they're headed for the water. What are you going to do? What would a loving father do? Warn. Correct. Admonish. That's the idea of this word here. The idea is that they've started to go off track and you see it. This is what a loving father does. This is what a loving pastor will do. This is what a loving mother, a loving grandmother or grandfather will do. Paul is warning his wayward children to get back on track. What's another thing he does? Well, before we get to the next one, look at verse 15. He says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Well, there's really not the word 10,000 there. The word is countless. And Paul is not saying that necessarily they had 10,000 or countless instructors, but he's saying, though you may. Now, what was an instructor? The word is pedagogus. That might sound a little familiar. Have you ever heard of a pedagogue? If you look up pedagogy, very good. A pedagogue is generally a teacher, generally considered one who's strict or harsh. But in those days, a pedagogue was typically a slave or a paid servant in the house. And when mom or dad was absent, the pedagogue would accompany the child to and from school, maybe ensure that they did their homework. Some translations are custodian, guardian. What is the difference between a pedagogue and a father? What is the difference between an instructor and mom or dad? You might say, well, maybe the motivation was different. Although there were some instructors, some slaves who really would love those children. You know what the difference is? I'll tell you what it was in the first century. Kids did not growing up saying, I want to be like the household slave. They grew up saying, I want to be like dad. And that's Paul's point. Paul's using the fact that he had led them to Christ through the gospel to say, listen, you should want to follow me. I'm your father in the faith. By the way, you may be, like Paul, a father or mother in the faith. There may be a son or daughter in the faith, someone that you've brought to faith in Christ. If you love that person and you see they're not following Christ, you'll warn. You'll warn. So Paul is simply giving us an example using the unique relationship he had with the saints in Corinth to warn them to get back to following Jesus Christ. What else does he do? Verse 16, urge. Look at verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Paul urged his beloved children to be imitators of him. This is what a loving father does. It's what a loving mother does. And of course, it implies that you first set an example of following Christ. By the way, you might think this sounds kind of prideful to call your children to follow you, but if you're a professing Christian, to do anything less would imply hypocrisy. Think about that. If you're professing to be a believer in Jesus Christ, you better be able to say to your son or daughter or your grandchildren, or your church, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And if you can't say that, it's like saying, do as I say and not as I do. And what's that? Hypocrisy. This is not prideful of Paul. It's biblical. And in 11:1, he does clarify it. In chapter 11, verse 1, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what he means. He doesn't mean become imitators of my circumstances. He doesn't mean I'm an apostle, you need to become an apostle. What he does mean is, I love Jesus Christ. I'm seeking to live a pure and a godly life. Follow me. And you know what? Again, if you are professing to believe in Jesus Christ, you should be able to say to your children, do as I do. You should be able to say that. And you know what? If you can't say that, kids are the quickest ones to spot hypocrisy. Don't think that you can get away with hypocrisy in front of your kids. They see how you live. They see how you act. They see the decisions you make. And believe me, your kids know if you're a hypocrite. Paul says, imitate me. He urges them on the basis of his relationship to them. He says, therefore, on the basis of the fact that I'm your spiritual father. And by the way, father-son is not the only kind of unique relationship in Christ. There are others upon which you could build your urging or exhortation. There's mother-daughter relationships in Christ. Women, maybe you have ladies younger than you, older than you, that you've led to Christ. There's mother-daughter relationships. There's brother-brother relationship, right? You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm also an elder in the church, and I can use that following Paul's example. If I see one of you going astray, I can say, listen, you may have many preachers and teachers you listen to on the radio and TV, but you don't have many elders. There are only three in this church, Pastor Dan, Pastor Jerry, and myself. And we three could come to you and say, listen, you might have a lot of people you listen to, but you don't have many elders. Therefore, we are urging you, imitate us. But what's he doing? Urging. Urging, verse 16. Parakaleo. We saw that word this morning in 1 Timothy 2. Very common in the New Testament. It means to call alongside so as to coach, help, comfort, advise, instruct. How many of you played high school sports? Anybody play high school sports? Good. I did too. If you didn't play in high school, maybe you played before high school. Grade school sports. I was a wrestler for myself, and I had a coach, Coach Lucky. Coach Luckinball. If I was losing in my wrestling match, he would call me alongside to yell at me. What are you doing? Come on, take him down. What are you waiting for? If I was tied, he would call me alongside to give me some advice. Hey, listen, you know, it's tied. You got one period to go. I think you can get this guy. You need to do the Navy. That was my favorite move. If you want to know what it is, I'll show it to you on Jordan. And then he'll probably proceed to hurt me, which he generally does when we wrestle nowadays. If I was winning, he would call me alongside to what? Congratulate or encourage, keep going. You are apparently doing the right thing. You need to hold out. You need to encourage me to persevere. That's the idea here. Listen, if you're losing in the battle here, if you're starting to walk away from Christ, I'm going to call you alongside and I am going to urge you to get right, to get back on track. If you seem to be doing okay but not doing great, I might give you some advice to help you out. If you are doing great in the Christian faith, I'm going to call you alongside and say, ah, keep doing that. Praise the Lord. Keep doing what you're doing. You are giving a beautiful picture of your walk with Christ. This is what a loving father does. A loving father, a loving mother, lives an exemplary Christian life, a godly, holy life, submitted to Jesus Christ, and then calls his or her spiritual children, spiritual followers, disciples, to be imitators of that life. And when Paul says, imitate me, again, he's not saying imitate my situation or my circumstances or even my style, but imitate my lifestyle. Become imitators of the way I live for Christ, of the way I love Jesus Christ. Paul is a loving father. He's an example for us. What else does he do? He warns, he urges. Verse 17, he reminds and teaches. Verse 17, take a look. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you. For what reason? For the reason that I want you to become imitators of me. On this account, For this cause, that you might become imitators of me and of my ways, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. Notice what he just said there. He called them beloved in verse 14, but he didn't call them faithful. So he has sent to them his beloved and faithful child, implied that you might become like him. Right? Every father wants his son and daughter to become beloved and faithful. They're already beloved. Listen, you love your children. You love your son. You love your daughter. You love your grandkids. They're already beloved, but you want them to be faithful to Christ. If you're a Christian father or mother, you want your son or daughter to be faithful to Jesus. To that end, you will do what Paul's doing in verse 17, reminding and teaching. He says, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul was consistent. As a father, he was consistent. This is what you ought to be as a father or a mother. Consistent. All right? Consistent in your walk with Christ. That's how you set an example. Paul says, as I teach everywhere in every church. In other words, I'm not calling you to do something that I don't call everyone else to do. When I say be imitators of me, I would tell anyone, anywhere, to be an imitator of what? My ways? No. The issue here is not Paul's ways, it's his ways in Christ. That makes all the difference. Paul is not saying, I want you all to be Paul, or I want you to be all an apostle, or I want you to have all the same circumstances I have. But he is saying, I have taught you the ways of Jesus Christ. And I have sought to give you an example of how to live for Christ. And so I'm sending Timothy to remind you of my ways which are in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. What did Paul teach everywhere in every church? The book of Acts ends with Paul in a house arrest, basically. And it says, Paul kept on teaching, Acts 28:31, things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a loving father does. Keeps on teaching to his beloved children things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Like what? Like who he is. That he is Lord and Savior and the only way that a sinner can be saved. Like what he did. That he came into this world to save sinners. A loving father or mother keeps on teaching things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, like what he is doing even now, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, making intercession for all who come to God through him. Keeps on teaching what he did, how he lived a perfect, sinless life, sacrificed his life on the cross for sins, and rose again. A loving father or mother will keep on teaching his children or her children what Christ is about to do, namely, come again. And therefore, what we all ought to do in light of his coming. And what is that? Follow him. Follow him. This is what a loving father does. He teaches his children the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He teaches them the gospel, seeking that they might come to faith. If they do, if they are born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, then what he does is he speaks wisdom to them, as Paul does in 1 Corinthians 2:6-16. He keeps on speaking the wisdom of God. Why? So that they might grow to become spiritual men and women, judging all things by the Spirit and by the Word of God. This is what a loving father does. He teaches. But what about when the kids forget? Or when, by the decisions they're making, they have apparently forgotten? That happens too, doesn't it? And if you say, have you forgotten? No. Well, it sure looks like it. It sure appears you have forgotten. Then what does a loving father do? Remind. Warn. Urge. You know, you can remind in person, but you don't have to. Paul isn't reminding in person, right? He's sending someone he could count on. And these days, well, you have so many resources at your disposal. How could you remind your kids when they're grown and gone and live far away? How could you remind them of the things you taught them? Send them books. I would say send them tapes. But you probably can't do that anymore. send them CDs. You can send them links. I send my kids links sometimes. Hey, here's a link. What's a link? A link to some website where they can hear a great sermon. Hey, here's a link to a great sermon I heard recently. I encourage you to listen to this. You can remind them of the ways in Christ. You can send them a letter, snail mail. You can send them an email. You could text or tweet or I don't know what all you could do. Instagram, video chat. You have all these different ways. You don't have to send Timothy. I mean, in the old days, it was harder. It's easier now to remind them. And this is what a loving father does. Repetition is the mother of learning. Повторение мать учения. Some of you who remember my Russian phrase. Repetition is the mother of learning. And we need reminders, don't we? And you know what? If you don't know how to remind your kids, I'll go. Call me up. Hey, would you go and remind, and wherever your kid is, I'll travel there. By plane, by train. Believe me, I want to serve you. If you have a child who's wayward and you're not sure what to do, sick the pastor on them. I will be glad to go, though I might use technology to get there. What else does a loving father do? We said he warns, verse 14. He urges, verse 16. He reminds and teaches, verse 17. Finally, he visits. He visits. Notice verses 18 through 21. 18. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. Now what's going on here? The fact is that Paul had planted this church. He preached the gospel there. By the grace of God, some came to know Christ. Then he moved on because he was an apostle, right? He moved on. Well, now with him gone, what has happened? Some of them have turned their ears to listening to human wisdom. They've turned their ears away from what they were taught by their spiritual father. And as a result, some of them, following human wisdom, have become contentious, divisive, envious, foolish, and downright immoral. And you know what some of them were thinking? And isn't this just like maybe a teenager or, you know, a young kid? Isn't this just like, you know what some of them are thinking? I don't have to follow what Dad taught me. I don't have to do what you told me. Really? Well, you did when you were in my house. I don't have to now. I don't have to follow your way. There are new ways, Dad. New ideas. New wisdom out there. And I don't have to follow your ways. You know what the problem is with that? If your father was a Christian or is a Christian and he taught you ways, many of the ways he taught you are ways in Christ. You want to go away from Dad? You go away from Jesus, God, the Bible, the church, salvation? Whoa. And some, Paul says, some of you have become puffed up, a picture of pride. You're all inflated. You're all inflated with your hot air, with your human wisdom, with your foolish ideas that you picked up who knows where. And now you think, you don't have to listen to me. Some of you are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. And you know what? You can just picture them in Corinth going, I don't have to listen to him. And he's not going to come back. He's not going to do anything. I don't have to obey him. Who made him the boss of me? Paul's not coming back here. And Paul says, I have heard that some of you think I'm not going to come back. But I'm coming back. This is what a loving father does. As long as he has life and breath and can get up on 2 feet or 2 wheels or whatever, he's coming back. Because he doesn't stop loving and caring about his children. And if necessary, he'll come with the rod. Right? Look what he says. Some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but verse 19, I will come to you shortly. Ooh, little bit of warning there, right? If the Lord wills. Now, why does he say if the Lord wills? He was in Ephesus. He had a great open door for ministry. Things were going well in Ephesus. He could not yet justify leaving that huge open door for the gospel. But he was going to. I'll come if the Lord wills, and I'll know. Not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What power did Paul have? What power do you have if all you're doing with your life is seeking to honor Jesus Christ? What power do you have? What power did Paul have? Not his own, right? He said just earlier, verse 10, we're weak. And they say Paul wasn't a very big man. He's just a little weakling like me. But Paul says, I'm going to come and I'm going to know the power. What power do you think he has? The power of God. He's got the power of God on his side. Why? Because he's seeking to serve Christ. And if you abide in me, I'll abide in you, said Jesus Christ. He knew Christ was abiding in him. He had the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, and he had God in heaven on his side. Do you know that if you're a humble servant of Jesus Christ, if you're a true Christian, you actually have the power of God? And what is the gospel? The power of God unto salvation and unto correction and unto sanctification, unto discipline. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation from start to finish. So guess what? Paul is not afraid. He's not, oh my goodness, they think I'm not coming back. Maybe I better not go back. Oh, what if I go back there and the puffed up ones with pride don't listen to me? Oh, he says, I'm coming back, sons. I'm coming back, kids. And I'll know. Not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. What power did they have? You know what power they had? Zero. If you are so foolish as to exalt yourself against God and go astray from him and go against the ways of Jesus Christ, if you are that foolish, guess who is in battle array against you? God. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter 5, in James 4, in the book of Proverbs, that God is in battle array. Picture God with all of his armies. God is in battle array against the proud. And you know what it says in Proverbs 16? Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they may join forces, not one of them will go unpunished. Man, I can't imagine a stronger warning against foolish pride. You know what a loving father does if he can tell some of his children are puffed up with pride? He comes. He visits. And he says, what do you want? Verse 21. What do you want? You decide. We used to love telling the boys that. Well, what do you want? You want us to discipline you? Just keep disobeying. It's coming. But if you don't, then why don't you turn from this foolishness and do what mom and dad said? What do you want? Paul says. And do you realize he's talking to adults? He's not talking to little kids. He's talking to people like us. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod? Or in love and a spirit of gentleness? What is the rod? What is the rod? The rod of church discipline. You want me to come and discipline you out of the church? Next chapter, we're going to learn. Because I will. And I have. And I'm not afraid of the suffering that comes with church discipline because it's not pleasant. Believe me, no father really wants to discipline his son. Much less does any father in the church want to church discipline his beloved children. I don't want to church discipline people. I really don't. But I will. If somebody in the church is involved in immorality, gross folly, divisiveness, being contentious, if you want to exalt yourself and go against God and Christ and the Bible, I'll come and I won't come alone. Neither would Paul, right? And I skipped over verse 20. Take a look at verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. A kingdom is people in a place with a king and a constitution. That's a kingdom, right? People in a place with a king and a constitution. You know what the kingdom of God is? God's people in God's place with God's king, Jesus Christ, and a constitution, which is the word of God. And the kingdom is not yet. The kingdom is coming. But the labor we do now for the Lord in the local church is a labor for the future kingdom of God. And how is it going to come? Not through mere talk. It's going to come not just through a bunch of mere talk. It's going to come through power. The kingdom of God is in power. And therefore, a loving father takes all the power at his resources, the gospel, the Spirit of God, prayer, a holy life, others who are like-minded in the faith, like Timothy. A loving father, a loving mother takes all the power that God has given to his resources and seeks to do everything he can or she can for the sake of Christ and the coming kingdom. So Paul says, what do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod? Do you know a loving father doesn't spare the rod? He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. He doesn't wait around. Proverbs 13:24. Foolishness, too bad Jerry's not here, his favorite verse. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, Proverbs 22:15, will drive it far from him. Do not withhold correction from the child, Proverbs 23:13. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Now, of course, that's on parents with their little kids at home. What about spiritual parents with their adult spiritual children in the church? Same applies, but it's not a physical rod. It's the rod of church discipline. And Paul, yes, is threatening church discipline against some in the church who are puffed up. Why? Why for four chapters now has Paul been basically pushing nonstop for spiritual maturity? Because that's what this is all about. Why has he been pushing for four chapters with pictures and illustrations and commands and warnings and threats now? Why has he been pushing for spiritual maturity, for growth in likeness to Jesus Christ? Because what happens when Christians remain immature? You think about it. What happens to the name of Jesus Christ when Christians remain foolish, unwise, and immature? What happens to the cause of the gospel when Christians remain unwise, foolish, and immature? What happens to the rest of the church when Christians remain unwise, foolish, and immature? I can tell you it's not good. It's not good. So Paul is battling, and this is what a loving father does, battles for spiritual maturity. What do we do with all this? What do we do with this? Verse 16. Therefore, and I'll say now to you, as your pastor, on the basis of everything I've taught now since we started 1 Corinthians, on the basis of everything I've preached for the past 4 months, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, which is how that's translated in other passages, I beg you and plead with you, become imitators of me, as I am of Christ. I'm not saying you need to go get a motorcycle. I'm not saying you need to get into hiking. I'm talking about the ways that I teach in Jesus Christ. You need to become loving, spiritual, mature parents. I titled this A Loving Father. Loving as in committed, devoted, surrendered, persistent, wise, godly. All of that is loving. Patient, kind, humble. A loving father. That means mature, grown up. Having put off the childish things now, living a serious, surrendered life for Jesus Christ, and even suffering, if necessary, for Christ's sake. I urge you, let me become very specific. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like Paul in that you have children who have gone astray. What do? Be an imitator of Paul? Warn them. Urge them. Plead with them. Beg them. Threaten them, visit them, teach them, remind them, pray for them. Do not give up on your children who have gone astray. It may be your children made a profession long ago, but there's no fruit. Okay, they're unsaved, then preach Christ to them. Go back to them and preach Christ to them and beg and plead with them to be saved. Will you do that? As a father, if you love them, you will. Or maybe your children have professed faith in Christ, but in some area of life, they're going astray from the ways you taught them in Jesus Christ. What do? Be an imitator of Paul. Maybe you're here this morning and you're more like the saints in Corinth. You're wayward. You've gone astray. You've strayed from the way that was taught you in Jesus Christ by someone who was your spiritual father, or maybe by me. What should you do? Be an imitator of Paul. Be an imitator of Timothy. What could you do? Confess your sins this morning. I have good news for you. You can pray right here this morning and confess your sins to Almighty God. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What a great promise. Don't leave this morning hardening your heart. Maybe you came here this morning and you're like those who are puffed up. Maybe you're involved in foolishness and sin and you think, Pastors are never going to do anything about that. They'll never find out. No, we'll probably find out. Your sin will find you out. They're not going to come. No, we will. What do you do? Be imitator of Paul, as he is of Christ. Again, get right with God. Don't keep going on from here in sin. Maybe you're here this morning, and you know what? I think this is true of many of you. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're like Timothy. You're a beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Rejoice and keep going. Keep being that faithful child in Christ and walking with Him. But keep on growing. Don't stop growing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that You are our Heavenly Father, loving, caring, persistent, committed to seeing Christ formed in us. Don't stop, Father. Keep on speaking to us, correcting us, directing us, guiding and encouraging us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.